Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, that podcast focused on the zero emission future that we are all hoping for. Every week, as you know very well by now, I get joined by one of the lovely team of the EV Cafe, but the lovely ones weren't available, so I got John.
Everyone's a winner. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Excited for today. We get to talk to somebody that began their career in vans. Absolutely. Vans and trucks and all of that good stuff. But now they're doing something wonderful and different. But, you know, it's okay. People are allowed to leave the van world. Lindsay Hetherington from Drax Electric Vehicles, fleet and workplace charging specialist, no less. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm quite excited to join. I've watched a few and now it's my turn. So it's exciting.
It is your turn.
Or daunting, really, I don't know.
Oh, no. Listen, we get joined by all the wonderful innovators, pioneers and collaborators, which I forgot earlier. And you are one of those. You've been in our industry a little while now. So, you know, really focusing in on that challenging area of charging, both from a marketing perspective, but now also actually delivering it. For those people that have been under a rock, Lindsay, clearly, and don't know you very well, just give us a little bit of an insight as to who you are, where you're from, what you do.
So I am Lindsay Hetherington and I work at Drax Electric Vehicles. So obviously Drax supply renewable energy and I sit in their EV team, and basically I would describe my role as helping and advising companies and fleet on their transition, getting charge points in the ground and supporting them the long term, so building that relationship with them. And I am from Newcastle, so I've done this for 10 years now. Like you said, started off in the marketing and then kind of moved into sales, but I still wouldn't class myself as a salesperson. I don't feel like not.
So you started out colouring in and now you're actually cheek, doing the deal.
What a cheek. Yeah.
To all those marketeers out there, I love you all. You're wonderful. Bringing colour to life. And Lindsay, what made you depart into charging from vans? What dragged you away from the wonderful world of vans into charging?
Well, it was about 10 years ago now, and I was marketing at Beldruck and Van, and then I was just kind of looking to progress my marketing career, really, and I seen a marketing job come up at a company called LMEV. People might kind of remember that really, really back in the day, and had an interview with these very amazing guys called Dan and Anthony and a lady called Susie as well. And they just sold me the dream, basically. I thought I was joining a huge company when I had the interview with them, and it was actually quite a small company and starting off in electric vehicles. And I had no idea what it was about. I didn't even know. I knew the Nissan Leaf because my husband worked at Nissan and he used to help make them and things like that on the line, and then it got moved. But he worked at Nissan and that's the only thing I knew about electric vehicles at that time. But I was really keen and eager to join a new industry, and it paid off. It did really well for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because the Northeast is traditionally the home of EV in the UK.
Yes.
Before anybody else, there's a wonderful man called Colin Heron who set up.
Dr. Colin. I call him Dr.
Colin.
Dr. Colin.
who put in tons of EV charging.
Yeah.
And I go to Tynemouth quite a lot and spend my time in the Northeast. And the charging is everywhere. And electric vehicles are the norm, far more so than I expected. And you're part of that. You must be hugely proud that you're helping a transition that isn't just done because it's the sort of fashionable thing to do, but you're making a difference.
Yeah, I think when I kind of first started off, it was so new. And Elm EV, which changed to Elmtronics then, were based at the Future Technology Centre. And that's where Dr. Collins' team was based, Zero Carbon Futures. And we worked together so much. And it was such a new industry. We had different projects and things together. We did events. It was such a new industry. It was so exciting. And it was really kind of niche. Everybody wanted to hear about what we were doing. I think it's obviously changed a bit now, but we were putting like charges in for any loads of NHS trusts or new ones, doing engagement events, bringing Tesla to places, letting people have test drives, and like to hear the reaction of like, oh my God, these vehicles are amazing. Yeah, looking back, actually, it is a massive journey that I've been on, and I feel so like precious about some of the chargers and some old customers that I work with. I'm like, that's my charger. Yeah. I mean, uh-huh. Like, it's not your charger though, is it? I'm like, it is, it's actually mine. Like, I think joining that small startup, it was like it was my company as well. And I think that's the culture, was like, it was like, it's your company too. And it was so much passion in it. We had an amazing time.
It's brilliant going past some of the car parks and you see Necker. Yeah. On the 50 kilowatt chargers, and
I know, I just, they don't work. That's the thing. Like, some of them don't work anymore, and I'm like, oh yeah, maybe it's not my charger. We've got the taped up, but we'll go into that, and that's like lessons learned, isn't it? From that time in the industry.
Perfect segue, really, because you know, Elmtronics now doesn't exist. They've been sort of merged into another company, and your day job today for Drax has been built on something that you really because they were an amazing company, and Dan in particular, yeah, a real entrepreneurial leader. He's so on to his new thing now. I think he's doing rum or some such thing in the world. Yeah, I think he might have even written a book. And I mean, the boy's been busy, right? But you got to work with a genuine entrepreneur, somebody really passionate about, you know, this sector. And
yeah,
it's really, I don't know, birthed something in you. Talk to us just a little bit about that experience in really elevating, because you were responsible for bringing these people to the surface, you know, award-winning in Greenfleet and other bits and pieces. A real journey. Talk to us a little bit about that journey and how you played your part.
Yeah, I think for me, I obviously joined the company and we were doing like home chargers under the free government grant. Everybody got a home charger. They did had an electric vehicle. It was just a free-for-all, basically. And the company then grew into commercial. And for me, that was a bit of a step, because at the time I was doing marketing and getting the guys' faces out everywhere, going on radio shows, all of that kind of thing in the Northeast. And then I kind of slowly transitioned to like a salesy kind of role within the company, because there was nobody else, I suppose, doing it and managing those customers. And that was when I think like all of my knowledge grew, and confidence, and kind of that passion as well, like, to see something and get something in the ground. But I think it probably stems, like, my kind of passion for this job that I'm in stems from my kind of degree, I think, at uni. And it's kind of, it's just like building relationships and having, working with people. And I love it. I love chatting, and this sounds so corny, I love chatting, but I love just getting out and about and just helping people as well. And in that company, the culture was like the best I've ever experienced. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, so it was such like a family feeling. It had its ups and downs. There was hard times and good times. But like things like the back office, Hubster, we just come up with the name Hubster in the office, just like drawing. Like, Dan used to always get his clipboard out and used to draw. And that's how he would explain things. And everyone would be so enthusiastic, and like small, like a big company was kind of grown from a couple of people just like working their socks off and having the passion to make change and do something. So good.
You talk about passion, and you said that some of it came from the degree that you studied. So what did you study?
So I did public relations. Not many people know about that. Like, people think public relations is when you go to Magaluf and people are standing in the streets trying to get you in bars, because people are like, what, PR? A PR? I'm like, yeah, I did PR at uni. And they're like, you did that? I'm like, yeah, no, it's completely different. So public relations I did at Sunderland Uni. It was really good.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europcarma. Search Europcar Business.
And how did you then go from learning about PR, which can be applied to pretty well any industry, any business, any organisation, through to a route to sustainability?
Probably just potluck, really. I don't think I went into obviously vans and trucks doing marketing and that very linked together. And then seeing that a job came up in marketing. And it was literally 5 minutes from your house. It was next to Nissan. It was ideal. And went into that, and I've never left. People say they never leave the motor trade. Sorry. True. I think maybe this is very similar, isn't it? Once you're in, you're never out. I feel like it's still a bit of a crossover.
But you've chosen a path which is not easy within the motor trade. In that, you know, anybody can sell stuff to do with petrol, diesel, any other vehicle type, but you've chosen to do the hard yards, which is getting early in an industry. Got in early in an industry and said, do you know what, I'm going to make a difference, transitioning to something completely new that lots of people don't trust. And as somebody who's in PR, your job's to help them trust.
I suppose that's exactly what I'm doing in my role at the moment. And what I've done for probably the past 10 years is really just giving people honest advice, helping them, guiding them through, and gearing them up with the information so I can just leave them to do themselves. I just say, speak to everybody and get all of the information. Like, I'm quite open with things. And I think that's how maybe I've done so well at the job.
but it's nice, isn't it? I mean, you know, a lot of people are always speaking themselves down, and it's quite a common thing. We hear the imposter
Oh yes, I still have that. Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
But, oh my god!
I'm loving. I'm loving the confidence that I'm hearing, though. So and the recognition, self recognition, which we really ought to do. You know, I mean, I totally get that, and just kind of feeling that. Yeah, do you know what? I've done a good job. Where does that confidence and that comfortableness, because I think it is a bit, you know, because we can kind of feel awkward about kind of saying that we've done an okay job. Where does that come from? It's lovely.
I think, I'm not sure. Like, I've went through quite a bit of a tough year, actually, kind of moving away from that, which was Elmtronics, like, and I started Drax about a year ago. And I've definitely felt more imposter syndrome starting in a new company. Like, I think when you're in a company for 10 years, you know everything about it. You know the people. You're very comfortable in your surroundings. And I did really well. I had, obviously, customers and did quite a large chunk of sales. So I came back from maternity leave and felt like I needed to prove myself. Don't know why, but I did. And then I did. And then I left. and then I came to Drax. And like, joining this culture is amazing. Like, it's really nice. It's very similar to the kind of old Elmtronics days and things like that. But I think having these opportunities to speak at events and webinars and things like this has been a real big challenge for me. But I'm, like, giving myself credit of doing it and give myself a little bit of recognition, like for putting myself out my comfort zone. And yeah, I think change, I've come to the mindset that change is good. It's only got to be good for you, even though it's hard at the time, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think change, I like change. I get very unsettled without change. It's kind of an odd way. But I think there is incredible value in change. And I guess change is a massive constant now. And moving into Drax, what has been, because obviously Drax are really bringing some really strong solutions to the marketplace, charging, but also the ecosystem around maintenance and repair and getting it in the ground, planning, doing all of that good stuff. Talk to us a little bit about how that kind of constant change is driving the machine that is you and Drax.
Yeah, I think initially kind of starting Drax, learning about the energy, renewable energy side of things is a huge learning curve, which has been very exciting. And I think that's changed kind of my view on electric vehicle charging and putting them in the ground and how we support customers. And yeah, learning every day, I think, is always really exciting. I feel like in this industry, you do learn every day, don't you? Like, and I'm having the same conversation still with some people, like fleet managers, that I've had 10 years ago. So I think that it's such a huge mix of kind of people's knowledge and things like that, that that steers me a little bit.
Lindsay, I want to touch on something which might be a bit challenging, but you're a PR professional, so I think I can. Drax Electric Vehicles obviously has an association with Drax. There are those people who don't know the facts behind Drax that might have a prejudiced view based on some of the history and some of the activities that Drax has undertaken with burning fossil fuels and wood pellets. And now, Paul and I, we're lucky because we are close to senior managers, people in Drax, you, we have got inside of the prejudice and understand the facts behind what Drax does. For somebody listening to you speak about Drax as a warm and pleasant place to be, they might be surprised by that. Drax isn't a big, bad, evil monster, is it? It is a responsible, sustainable business that is transitioning from where it's been to a new place. Are you comfortable with handling those objections from people when they come to you and say, oh, Drax?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I don't get many, you know. I don't get many objections. I get actually questioning like, oh, who are Drax and what do Drax do? And that gives me kind of a bit of a steer on how I can explain and talk about the company. And I think, again, it's that education, it's misinformation in the press, maybe propaganda, things from TV shows, which we are all kind of in the electric vehicle charging industry, electric vehicle industry, we experience that all of the time, don't you? You see programs come up on ITV about charging, and in the news, if there's a fire, it's always an EV. And I think it's always just that kind of education piece. And I think that's with politics in general as well, learning about things. Yeah, I don't think it's a huge kind of issue for me. And I kind of just speak as I find, and I am really comfortable and happy in this company, and I feel like I'm being treated well, and I've got a great team around me, which is really exciting, I think, and I can only kind of portray that. It's the team.
It's so much. It's the people.
Yeah,
We're really lucky. We've got to speak to so many people from the team, the wide team that cover energy and electric vehicles. And the thing that comes across is how sincere everybody is, how friendly they are, and how knowledgeable you all are. Tell me about your induction into Drax Electric Vehicles. Was that a culture shock, or was that something that you just embraced and said, yeah, give me more information?
Probably a little bit. So obviously, when I started out Elmtronics, it was a kind of a small startup company. It wasn't corporate or anything, but then obviously the transition to a corporate company was a bit like, oh wow, like this is a huge company. I went on my induction, obviously I'm in Newcastle, I traveled to Ipswich where the head office is, 5 hours away.
Came into this. I was gonna say, long journey.
Yeah, I had three trains. I didn't drive it. I do drive it now, my EV though. So that's good. And it's not too bad, the journey. But when I first got to the office, I was thinking, this is absolutely huge. And like I said to Naomi, who I already obviously worked with in the past, do you know everybody in this office? Like, do you have to get to know everyone? She was like, no, absolutely not. Like, it's such huge teams. But everyone was so friendly. And everyone I kind of sat with and worked with were just, yeah, really kind of welcoming and warming and learned quite a bit. So I work from home a lot, like obviously in Newcastle, and we make a conscious effort to kind of have like regular Teams meetings. I think everything's based on Teams now though, isn't it? Every, like, you're always on Teams. So we have Teams meetings that's just like coffee and catch-ups, that kind of thing. So it's bringing the team together quite a bit. And I think that's really important. But yeah, it was a bit of a culture shock in terms of the corporate, all this training and things that you've got to do. But yeah, I think I've embraced it and I'm enjoying it. It's actually like nice to work for a big company as well. Like, you have a sense of pride and think, I work for Drax. Whether people take that in a good way or in a bad way, but I think, yeah, I work for a huge worldwide company called Drax.
I think this is something, isn't it, that, you know, brands, I mean, I'm immensely proud that I worked for Mercedes-Benz for 6 years.
Yeah.
You know, the van brand. I worked for LeasePlan for 6 years. Again, another, you know, then they're Avons now. But, you know, they are brands that you kind of get accustomed to. But also, you know, you kind of think, yeah, I'm kind of done with the corporate lifestyle for me now. But I think everybody plays a part on that journey. What I'm curious about, Lindsay, is where did your journey start? And I guess that where was that acorn moment, that sort of thing that says, you know, well, this is what I want to be when I grow up. Do you know what I mean? When you're sitting in the back of the class sniffing glue. Oh no, that's just me. Sorry. When you're just kind of letting the brain run away with you and kind of thinking, well, what do I want to be when I grow up? How was that kind of migration from those times all the way through to uni, then doing PR at uni? Because it's not, you know, it's not something I would have immediately jumped into thinking about. What got you there, and how did it all start?
At secondary school, we kind of just had the option to kind of stay on at sixth form or go to college, and everybody just stayed on at sixth form. It was a thing, and you got your weekly, I don't know if everyone remembers, you got weekly £30 EMA payment for going. Maybe he's a too old for that.
Nobody paid. Whoa! Nobody paid. Nobody paid me to go to school. I might have done better if they'd have paid me.
I got paid £30 a week, which was spent like going out clubbing, that kind of thing. So we stayed on at sixth form, and I did A levels there, and then I had a few things that I potentially wanted to be when I was older. One was a paramedic, random, but it's still in my head a little bit, thinking potentially probably might like to do that. Another was like beauty, like, you know, eyelashes, obviously, nails, all that kind of thing.
Of course,
all that jazz.
Clearly.
And then the things that I kind of like to do was English and art, that they were my favorite subjects and I loved them. And then one of my art teachers said, what about like a marketing degree, and
colouring in. Be quite... See, I knew it.
It's really not though, you know.
Rude.
I know. Our Nick's gonna be on you. Yeah. So he said, and then he said PR. And I didn't even know what PR was. And he said to me, Mr. Southgate, he said, "There's no money in beauty. There's no money in beauty. Go and do a degree in PR." And I think, yeah, he probably was right at the time. But when I look now, these people that have like these beauty salons and they're doing eyelashes, they're doing Botox, and I think, yeah, there's a lot of money in beauty now. have I made the wrong decision? But yeah, I never thought I would end up in this industry. I don't even think this industry was a thing when I was at school. Mm-hmm. It probably wasn't. So I went to uni and did PR and loved just like the whole aspect of getting into the press, getting into newspapers, all events, all of that kind of thing. Yeah, and that's kind of how it started. And so, I'd be like, I haven't left.
So you mentioned a Mr. Southgate, and we've all got teachers that we remember from our school days. Yeah, I can remember that far back. And apparently your long-term memory gets better as you get older, and your short-term memory's not so good.
Maybe.
It's true.
But are people, who's inspired you on the journey? Maybe early doors, Mr. Southgate, but then maybe later, Dan, I don't know. I mean, who not to put words in your mouth, but who's been an inspiration?
I think just in general, probably maybe not so much teachers, things like that. Maybe just me mum's been a huge kind of inspiration to us, like always kind of pushing us to be who I want to be, and just being really encouraging, just a lovely little mum. But I think now, as I get a little bit older, Dan was a huge inspiration, just his kind of whole ethos, and he's just his mood uplift in the office, all of that was great. But as I get older, I think it's like the working mums, like in the industry, and the women that are like working, they've got a family, they're trying to bolster their career, they're juggling home life. I feel like when I see like women like that and in progressing in their career, not ashamed to progress in their career, really is a huge inspiration for me. Like Naomi, I look up to her and think she's got a family and she's done so well in her career at the same time, and going all of these events and speaking so confidently. Yeah, I just think, up the mums. Up the working mums. Like, yeah, it's such a hard job. And I've faced some like kind of hard moments to stay in the career and to stay working and stuff. But I love working, so why shouldn't I kind of do, why can't I be both? Why can't I be,
Let's just develop that a little bit. So up the working mums, we're with you. Absolutely. What is the thing that you are proudest of having delivered so far?
In life or just in work?
I think life and work, surely.
Well, thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
Sorry, John.
That's okay. I think maybe just generally being where I'm at now, I think I've got to kind of take comfort in that I've got this great opportunity in this amazing company, and I've got two fabulous young kids, which can be testing at times, but we're happy. We're plodding along. Every day is like crazy until 9 o'clock, and then I come to work and I can breathe and like and then clock off again, and just I suppose being like content in our family life and where I'm at now. And I do love to tell the story of the whole Elmtronic thing, of how it started from a small scale up and then it got acquired by a huge company, and I'm still attached to that. Like, I think I probably always will be. Don't know if you ever like move away from that. That was a huge part of my life in my career as
almost
well.
Almost like your first love.
Yeah, it's weird. I think like have grieved a little bit for that company. I don't know how Dan and Ant feel. But yeah,
they moved
like
on.
I've went through that a bit of grief. Drinking rum, that maybe I just need a little bit of rum.
And going forward, what's the thing that you're trying to achieve most? What is it that really drives you in the morning, not in work so much, not as a target, you know, got to sell chargers or kit or whatever, but what is it that you want to achieve in your life?
That's a really hard one, isn't it? I think like as I get older, you do think about that a lot more, don't you, and where you want to be. And because I think I've went through a huge kind of journey of like me and my husband, we got engaged, we had like fairy tale wedding, traveled, we've been on honeymoon, then it's like you have children and then another child, and then you have like you try and get a mortgage or you buy your dream home, and I think like, and then you've got your career as well. I think I've done all of that, and then like this year it's probably hit us thinking, what if I want like next, like what's next for me, like do I want to travel, do I want to get in like property, things like that as a like a little side hustle. In terms of work, I think like it's not really about the whole selling and things, but I do want to prove myself. Like I did so well in the past company, and I feel like this company now, I want to prove myself, I want to win a big contract, I want to get those chargers in the ground. And I think I'd feel like more content and a bit more settled with doing that. And although I'm really busy, just things are, they take time, don't they? I think that's what's coming. And then in like home life and family life, I think I've started going back to the gym. I've recognised that I need to take more time out for myself. And I'm not just like a mother or a worker or a wife spinning different plates. I think I'm kind of feeling less guilty now of thinking, no, I'm going to get a little part of myself back and take some time and do a little few hobbies and things. And I would like to take my children travelling, like for a gap year. That's like in my mind. I don't, probably not anytime soon. But like, you know, you see people like taking their kids away for a year and travel the world. Maybe do something like that as a family, but yeah, probably have to sell my house to do that first. So maybe not. Have to get some really big contracts in at work.
I love the inner workings of the human mind. It is just wonderful, isn't it? That we,
yeah,
you know, I love the fact that you're dreaming in that way. I don't do enough of that. I don't.
You know.
If you ask me that same question, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, first of all, I don't really want to grow up. Yeah. But second of all, I'm, you know, very much in the doing the do. It's hard to see.
That's,
you know,
good, though. I think that's good because you're present. And sometimes I think we're not present enough in the here and now. We're potentially worried about like, what ifs in the future? I know I'm a bit like that. Like, oh, what if this happened? And I think you've got to ground yourself and think, actually just be present in this moment and enjoy the here and now, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future.
I like that. And I mean, I go for a walk every morning. And like you, the little bit of time that you spend, there's about 30, 40 minutes, depending on how quickly I go, is... I would have regretted that as lost time before.
Yeah.
And now I don't. I see it as an investment in me.
Yeah.
Like your gym.
Yeah, I think that's exactly that, is like just kind of focusing on yourself a little bit more and taking time out for yourself isn't a waste of time.
Definitely not. Well, we have a very special, now do you know this? Do you know what's coming next?
I don't know.
No. Oh, dear. There's another one that doesn't listen to the podcast.
I do.
Just not to the end.
Just not to the end.
The sound guy said to me, if it doesn't sound good, people switch off and they don't listen. I wonder if the sound was bad on those ones.
Well, we have a very special closing tradition on the EV Cafe Takeaway podcast. We present you with your very own magic wand.
I do know. Just grab it.
It's just not significant, right? Hang on, you haven't got it yet.
I'll take it.
Just kind of grabbing. Dear me, right now, listen, let's very gently present it rather than it being grabbed. Yobbo. I don't know. There you go.
I am from Newcastle. Yeah, I've got it. Thank you.
There we go. Now you've got the one. You've got four of them. I mean, it's amazing. So what we want to do, Lindsay, is hear from you on a wish for the future. We've just heard your dreams. We've heard a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Perhaps, you know, but that was a lovely mix. Now, you are free to choose and use your wish as you will. Just say that world peace has been sorted. We haven't dealt with COP26 yet and the abject disappointment that's likely to be. Anyway, moving on. It just happens to be topical in my brain.
Yeah.
And of course, we've had a personal chef, which, you know, was for an international bodybuilder, weightliftery type person. So we can understand how giving him a bit of time back was fine. What do you think? Well, how will you use your wish?
I think... it would be, in terms of the industry, that just kind of negative vibe, like those negative stories, lack of education, that is just bringing kind of what I'm doing day to day down a little bit. Like, I'm only trying my best. We can only try your best. And I think some people are just generally quite negative when they don't need to be. I suppose in every aspect of life, isn't it? I think, yeah. I started reading.
Positive vibe.
Yeah, positive vibe. I started reading a book. I've started reading listening to podcasts and things. And I've read I've started reading the Let Them Theory. And like, I think that is so big. Just let people be themselves. Let them be. Don't try and have opinions. Don't try and control what other people are doing. Just let them do them, and everyone will be much happier.
So I think, sort of, you do you.
Yeah, you do you, and stop having like negative opinions and things about what other people are doing. If I want to drive an electric car, I'll drive an electric car. If I want to do this job, I want to do this job. If I want to work with Drax, like, and I think it's amazing, then I will. And I think that would probably help the industry and just life in general, isn't it? Be a bit more positive.
I think so, yes. Yeah, I love that. Mm. Positive vibe, John.
Positive vibes?
Yeah.
It's hard at the time when you're in a tough time, but I think, yeah, you've got to try and stay positive.
I think what I love about you, Lindsay, is that you're so, and excuse the electrical pun, but you're so grounded in the things that matter. You know, you're easy to communicate with, you're fun, you hold on to the moment that you spoke about, you know, the Elmtronics feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the sort of feeling that you take with you, that formative experience that helps to make you who you are. And it reminds us all to not overstress. Don't over worry about the future. It will take care of itself. Just be the best you can be today and for those around you that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah. And I've went on that whole journey, I think, over this past year, and thinking like, just be present in the moment. And life's too short, isn't it? Life's too short.
Mm-hmm. I'm grateful for that reminder.
It has been. I've really enjoyed this conversation, because I often think sometimes when, like, how would I feel being sold to by you? How would my hour long meeting that I put aside in my day to listen to somebody come and talk about charging, which I know is important, but it's really. Do you know what I mean? It's something I've got to do. It's a bit of a pain.
Yeah.
I don't know about the grid connection. I don't know about the charges I'm supposed to do. Don't know how many vehicles I'm going to have. All the drivers will hate them. Just talk to me. And at the end of it, I would feel, wow.
I hope so.
Good conversation. I'd have had a good conversation. Yeah. We'd have had a bit of a giggle. I'd have got a lot of information from somebody that's really grounded, as John said, in the industry, that's had a real knowledge of deploying this at scale, is backed by a great company, and is going to deliver something. I'm going to walk away from that meeting feeling really, really confident and quite happy that I've
met
somebody
nice.
That is going to do a great job.
No, that's so nice. I think that's all I want. Like, I'm not this huge salesy person. I just want to be open and honest and help people and doing what they need to do. And if that's getting charges in the ground, then that's brilliant at the end of the day. But I kind of build up relationships with customers. I sometimes see them as my friends. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, because I think they probably don't see me as a friend. They don't see me as a friend. I'm just like, oh, hiya, give them hugs at networking events and stuff. But I just love
as long
to,
as
like,
you don't turn up
build
at their
those
front
relationships.
Door.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. But just, building relationships, I think, and that's with someone you can trust both ways is really important.
Absolutely. Bit of trust, bit of fun, bit of information, all accelerating the transition to zero emission transport, which is what we are all about. Lindsay Hetherington, what a joy and a pleasure. So listen, everybody, you need to reach out to Lindsay. You connect with her on LinkedIn. She's there. There, that's my other screen. The screen is there. She's there. There she is. Hi, Lindsay. So connect with her on LinkedIn. Follow Drax. Get the truth. As John was talking about earlier, learn about... Because, Lindsay, just have you been to the Hollow Mountain?
No.
No! Oh, my gosh, you're already halfway there. The Hollow Mountain is in Loch Awe, A-W-E.
Yeah.
Or around that area. And basically, the Hollow Mountain is where a hydro plant is... I can't remember what the actual official name is, but it's a Drax power station.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
water at the top coming down.
Oh, I've never been. I want to go.
Oh, you have to go. Yeah. Anybody can go. So if you're ever in Scotland near Oban, just head over to the Hollow Mountain. Yeah. Google the Hollow Mountain. Phenomenal place to go. Okay. And you can see it all in action, and they can spin up 4 gigawatts of power. And for those of you that don't know much about power, that's a lot. Enough to power significant swathes of Scotland in just 2 minutes or less, actually. Mm. If it's on standby, it's crazy the amount of power they can turn on and off like a tap. And as it's a hydro plant, that's kind of quite appropriate. It's just a great big tap. Anyway, sorry.
I tell our customers all about that, and I've never been. How bad is that? So I think I'll have to scoot up there.
Well, I did a video on it.
Did you?
You can see my bit.
Yeah, I'll
tag you in.
It's exciting. Anyway, so everybody, follow these guys.
Yeah. Follow these guys, connect with them. But also check out those other podcasts that John mentioned earlier. 130 of them, and if you're thinking, what about all of these EVs? They're all really expensive. Well, head over to our website. We've got a leasing comparison tool there. You can check out every electric vehicle that you might want to buy, be that a van or a car. Business leasing, fabulous. Go check it out, go compare those vehicles, and then head over to leasing.com and find out more. It's been fabulous, and we are very excited to have had wonderful time with Lindsay. John, thanks very much for joining me today.
It's an absolute pleasure, as always.
As always. If we saw the chat... Might not think so.
Well, indeed. But, you know, hey, if you finish off my questions, that's happening. That's what I'm saying.
So I crossed the line today, people. There we go. That's life. Lindsay, thank you again.
You're so crazy. I've had fun. Funner times.
Good. We're funner. Have a great time, everybody. And until next time, have a great day.